In the latter portion of his letter to Titus, Paul introduced us to several of his friends. In these passing references to first century Christians, we learn valuable lessons about cultivating healthy relationships and the power of generosity in the family of God. Today on Insight for Living, Chuck Swindoll presents his final message in an in-depth study of Titus called Tough Grace in Difficult Places. Later in the program, we'll describe a variety of helpful resources that will help you dig deeper into Titus on your own. Chuck titled his closing message, Covering All the Final Bases.
Our Father, we thank you for your good hand on us. Thank you for each life, for each investment, for each precious child filling the rooms around this building even as we meet, and for those who pour their lives into them. Your grace has really, truly shined on us. Thank you for knowing our name and for being our maker. Thank you for gifting us as you have and putting us where you've placed us and never taking your eyes off us. I remember the words of the prophet, "Can a woman forget her sucking child that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yes, she may forget, but I will not forget you. I have graven you upon the palms of my hands. Your ways are continually before me." You've known all our ways, Father. You've known where we've been. You've known every stretch of the valley, every dark corner, every heartbreaking moment. And you've never left us. You never will. And you've seen us on the mountaintop where we have realized that your blessings are beyond numbering and your goodness is beyond measure. This is all called grace because not one of us deserves any of that. If we got what we deserved, not one of us would be sitting in this room today. We'd have been taken from this earth. Thank you for flooding us with encouragement. Thank you for bringing hope in the middle of difficult news. Thank you for strength for today, bright hope for tomorrow. We pray that as we meet these individuals in the scriptures whom we've never known before, that their lives will somehow come alongside ours and warm us afresh with new insights in how to live for you in a cold and barren world that has forgotten the way to go. Now, Father, we sit in anticipation of what you will give to us, but first, we want to express our gratitude for what you mean to us in what we give to you. Our gifts come from hearts that have been changed. Because of that, we are generous, and we are grateful, and we are joyful. It's with that kind of heart we give to you our gifts now. In the lovely name of Christ, who never ceases pouring out his grace on us. Never once said, Amen.
You're listening to Insight for Living. Did you know about the spiral-bound workbook for our Searching the Scriptures Bible studies? To dig deeper into the New Testament letter of Titus, you can purchase this printed Bible study by going to insight.org/workbooks. And now, the message from Chuck titled, Covering All the Final Bases.
Titus 3:13, diligently help Zenas, the lawyer, and Apollos on their way so that nothing is lacking for them. They're coming through Crete to go elsewhere in ministry. Help them so that nothing is lacking for them. Don't miss that in verse 13. The diligently emphasizes the importance of the help. Go out of your way. Go the second mile. so that nothing is lacking. Those who traveled in ancient days couldn't stay in hotels. They were dangerous places. Often they were more like brothels or places to get robbed and mugged. So Christians traveled by staying with Christians. So he's saying, in effect, open your home to Zenas and Apollos and make sure nothing is lacking. You'll find they may be hungry. Feed them well. Send food with them on their way. They may need clothing. Give them the clothing they need. Meet their need. Let me add here for all of us just a little word. We're all busy and we're all about our work and we've all got our agendas and our plans, and it's hard for us to be interrupted in the midst of it. You'll never have sufficient time or energy or money to be the kind of help that you wish you could be. So don't let that hold you back. You quite likely have more than most, as I do. When a little missionary organization called Missionary Aviation Fellowship, in its fledgling weeks getting started, under the guidance of a man named Jim, they were given a little office, a little Spartan office in an area in Pasadena, California. Not far away was the little office of a man who was beginning another Christian organization. He also a veteran of the Second World War. His name was Dawson. And when Dawson Trotman heard that Jim, who was starting MAF, was beginning this ministry, Dawson had lunch with Jim, and he said to Jim, "Hey, notice you don't have any files, you don't have any desk, you don't have anybody to work around you. I believe in your vision." And he said, "I'll tell you what, I got a desk, take mine." Well, Jim said, "I could never take it." "Oh, I insist." And then the movers were already bringing it over to say, "Take a couple of our files. And while you're at it, take my secretary." In those days, you called him secretary. "Take my secretary." I've often wondered, did he ask the secretary how she felt about changing bosses? So then all of a sudden, MAF was set up to roll. Why? Because of the unselfish vision of a man who believed in helping others, giving to others. It's that kind of diligent help that Titus is challenged by Paul to give. I'll say more about that at the end, but keep that in mind. Look at the next verse. There's more here. Not only are we to be engaged in the priority of being together and helping others, we are to be engaged in doing good. Look at how he says this. Our people must also learn to engage in good deeds, to meet pressing needs, so that they will not be unfruitful. Titus wasn't to bear the burden of meeting all the needs of Zenas and Apollos. There were people in the church or churches on Crete that were to be participating in that. Good deeds and meeting needs. I noticed a couple of things about doing good. Will you observe? First, it's a learned trait. Our people must learn to engage in good deeds. It's not something that comes naturally. You know what comes naturally? Doing bad. You never have to teach a child to disobey. It's natural. But you have to teach them to do good deeds. It's something we pick up along life's journey, and often by seeing it modeled by others. Second, I observe it's vital for survival. See his reference to pressing needs. Sometimes you don't know it, but other people are living under a real severe situation and they just haven't told you. So you have to be sensitive when you're around them. A couple of things I observe that block sensitivity. One is our pace. We simply don't take the time, due to our hurried schedule, to imagine someone's intense need. People in a hurry are rarely generous people. People who take their time to notice the needs of others are often models of generosity. Second thing I notice about it that keeps us from it is our reluctance. We're reluctant. We talk ourselves out of it. We think they might misunderstand or fail to respond spontaneously, so we hold back. We don't want to humiliate anybody by meeting a need that they may have that they haven't asked us if we could help them with. Our hearts are saying, go for it, but our minds are saying, wait till a better time, which, by the way, never comes. Let me tell you a quick story. When I was in seminary, Cynthia and I lived in a little garage apartment, not a garage, but a little campus apartment. Thank God it's been torn down. But back then, we lived in this little campus apartment, apartment number 9. Sounds like a jail sentence, doesn't it? Campus apartment number 9. And we had other students that lived along and others that lived over us. I'm not saying the walls were thin, but when I told her a joke, our neighbor laughed. So it was really, we were really tight. And money was tight. And time was tight. I happened to be eminently blessed by having friends in our home back in Houston that loved us. And one of the men in a church that was our original church home before we came to seminary took a heart for us, and he paid our tuition for 17 students all the way through seminary. That's not all. He realized on one occasion that we were getting a little threadbare because we were coming back to visit, and we started looking like preachers, which really concerned him. And so he came to Dallas, and he took us all to a wonderful men's shop after a great lunch, and he bought all of us brand new sport coats. You know, Mr. Kane never talked himself out of doing that. He could have said, well, I don't want the boys to feel like, you know, they can't make it on their own. The fact was, we couldn't. And we weren't humiliated. Man, we tore to that men's shop like it's going out of style. Woo! Look at this. All right. We didn't have an air conditioner, and so we began to pray. And I went home for a little while, and while we were there over Christmas holidays, we got a phone call from Richard Parks, who lived up here in, I think it's Bedford. And Richard's gone now, but longtime friend. And Chuck, I said, yeah, visiting one of our folks. And he said, hey, you guys need an air conditioner? Now, understand, we had been praying all through the fall and winter, knowing that summer was coming. Dallas, hot as in the summertime. And so we're gonna endure the heat in this dump, apartment number 9. Not only that, the heat next door is going to come over on our side, and it's going to be impossible. So Mr. Park says, Chuck, yeah, you guys need air conditioner? I said, oh, man, yes. Now, I did not think, well, doesn't he realize I can take care of myself? I thought, how wonderful. So he brings over this Fetters air conditioner. Remember Fetters window air? Some of you go, what? This Fetters air conditioner. And he put it on the trunk, and he set it down. He looked at me, and he said, thanks for taking this thing off my hands. And I said, you're welcome. So we go back to Dallas, and we stick this thing in the window, and I turn that sucker on in January. Man, I'm getting ready for the summer. We left that thing for the next student to enjoy, and the next student to enjoy that air conditioner was provided. Why? Because he did good deeds. He gave me an air conditioner he didn't need. You got a computer you don't need. How come you're throwing it away? Folks can use them. You got stuff you don't wear? What are you doing hauling off to some Goodwill deal? Give it to somebody that can use it. Take it to the seminary. They're not too proud to wear your coats. Well, some of your coats don't take over there, but others, it'd be good. Take the good coats. Take the coats that you're too fat to wear now. You take them over there. It's a good idea. No extra charge, just a little advice there to share with you. You know what's good about all this doing good and all this helping others? You will not be unfruitful. You know what that means? You're going to get rewarded. Hebrews 6:10, God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, and that you have ministered to the saints, and keep on ministering. Keep on ministering. Just keep on giving. You cannot give God. Just unload it. And I love the end of this. Paul is so great. All who are with me greet you. Well, who are they? Well, I don't know. He's got folks around him that he's not even mentioned. But all of them team up together and spread a little grace saying, hey, by the way, Paul, you're writing Titus. Tell him we said hi. Tell him we're with him. Tell him we're on his side. We're in his corner. All of these around me greet you. And look at Paul's response as he writes that letter, that sentence. Look at the next one. Greet those who love us in the faith, meaning all those people down there on the island who know us and love us, greet them for us. That's a great thing, by the way, when you come across folks whom you're not with, but you realize when you are with them how much they love you. We had a little flash of that when we were at this National Day of Prayer. We ran into wonderful people. Vonette Bright was there. She just beamed. And she remembered our name, of all things, and walked up and shook our hand and told us how much she loved us. It was great. Jim and Shirley Dobson were there. And had a great, great few moments with them. And then the folks who lead the Christian Embassy were there. And we built a relationship with them. They all expressed their love. In fact, we had to leave a little early, catch our flight. A couple of them followed us out. They said, we're not going to get away without our telling you how much we love you. And I said, man, thanks. We met the chaplain of the Senate. I hear wonderful voice. I'm trying to act like it, but I've got a bad voice. So he spoke like this with great eloquence. I mean, I'm like, you get around guys like that, you feel like Minnie Mouse, you know. It's great. So when he finishes, there's applause. It was a wonderful message. And he walks down and greets Dobson's and then walks over and I shook his hand. I said, I'm Chai, we know who you are. Sound like the fourth member of the Trinity when he talked to me. I said, so I go, really? Oh, he said, folks up here love your ministry. Really? How great is that? He knew us and he loved us. If you only knew those who love you. It takes the grace of saying it. Just saying it. Let's practice. I love you. You said you wrong. Now, wait a minute. I learned how to say you in Nashville. When I was in Nashville, I had a native say to me, Chuck. He's one of these guys that majored in speech. Chuck, no, you start talking like a Yankee, okay? So he says, here's how you say it. You talk to one person, you say, ye. Ye. Don't have to push your lips out. You look like a Yankee when you push your lips out. You go, ye. And when you're talking to two people, it's y'all. Don't put an L on it. Yankees put L's on it. Don't y'all. Ye, y'all. And if it's more than two, it's aw, y'all. And you know what? I found out it's biblical. Look at the end of this letter. Grace be with all y'all. There it is. That's great, man. That's great. Grace be with all y'all. Shoot. Is this fun or what? Man. Mark was walking home from school one day when he noticed the boy ahead of him had tripped and dropped all the books he was carrying, along with two sweaters, a baseball bat, a glove, and a small tape recorder. Mark knelt down and helped the little boy pick up the scattered articles. Since they were going in the same way, he helped carry part of his burden. As they walked along, Mark discovered the boy's name was Bill, and that Bill loved video games, baseball, and history. That he was having a lot of trouble with other subjects, and that he had just broken up with his girlfriend. They arrived at Bill's home first, and Mark was invited in for a Coke and to watch some television together, and the afternoon passed pleasantly with a few laughs, some jokes, and some shared small talk. Then Mark went on home. They continued to see each other around school and had lunch together once or twice. Then both graduated from junior high school, and they ended up in the same high school where they had brief contacts over the years. Finally, the long-awaited senior year came. And 3 weeks before graduation, Bill asked Mark if they could talk together. Bill reminded Mark of the day years ago when they had first met. "You ever wonder why I was carrying so many things home that day?" asked Bill. "You see, I'd cleaned out my locker because I didn't want to leave a mess for anyone else. I'd stored away some of my mother's sleeping pills, and I was going home that day to commit suicide. But after we spent some time together talking and laughing, I realized that if I had killed myself, I would have missed that time and so many other times that would follow. So you see, Mark, when you picked up my books that day, you did a lot more. You saved my life. You never know." We've had a little fun with "I love you," but it's been a long time since you've said that to other grown-ups. Since when did we get too old to hear it? Including your grown-up kids and your grown-up parents. Maybe even your granddaddy Lundy. Even he needs to hear it. God tells us all the way through his book, "I love you. I love you." I know you're going the wrong direction, but I love you. I know it's a tough time, it's dark, and you've made wrong choices, but I love you. I love you. I will never stop loving you. I love you so much that I gave up my only son for you. Next time you see somebody's picture of Jesus, remember that's my love story. I gave him to you so he would give you to me. Come on home. Don't take your life. Don't even think about ending it. I got a plan it's beyond all you could imagine. You're planning on Nicopolis, but I may have Rome in mind for you. And along the way, there will be Artemis and Zenos and Apollos and others. But all of that is important because you're important to me. I'd like you to bow your heads for just a moment. These have been hard days, dark nights, lonely vigils for some of us. Maybe you too. Life's like that. It's called life in the family. All those stories where everybody lives happily ever after, they're lies, they're fantasies, they're fairy tales. They're the stuff novels are made of, not true stories. This old book tells it straight. While we are yet sinners, Christ died for us. Trust him. Just trust him now. You say, "He doesn't even know my name." Listen, he knows Artemis and Zenos. He knows your name. He knows exactly what he wants to do with you, but you got to be in the family. Call him Daddy. And he'll start working through you in ways you could not imagine. Thank you, Father, for the sweet time in your word. Thank you for the gift of life. The memories, days gone by, where you proved yourself faithful. Thank you. We love you. We love your son, Jesus. We'd carry a letter for you anywhere, Lord. Now teach us to carry a letter anywhere for others. We'd wash your son's feet in a moment. Teach us to find joy in washing another's feet. We worship only you, but help us to spend more time with others, doing good, helping out, being a friend, and practicing those marvelous three words, "I love you." Thank you for this little letter that has warmed our hearts again. It makes us love you all the more. Through Christ. In his name we pray. Everybody said, amen.
You're listening to Insight for Living. And with his closing prayer, Chuck Swindoll concludes an 11-part series on the New Testament letter of Titus. He called this study, Tough Grace in Difficult Places. Because this is the final day in our study, it's the last time we'll mention the audio series available from Insight for Living. All 11 CDs are in stock and ready for purchase when you call us at 800-772-8888. And then on tomorrow's program, we'll introduce our next study. This time, we'll enjoy a practical biographical study on the life of Moses. Chuck refers to Moses as a man of selfless dedication. People often tell us how much they enjoy biographical studies from Chuck. He has a way of humanizing biblical characters, so we readily identify with their struggles and victories. And we are confident you'll enjoy this classic from Chuck with 16 sermons that will carry us to Christmas time, and then we'll return with 4 more sermons after the holiday. Earlier in the program, you heard me refer to a spiral-bound Bible study workbook. This resource is part of our Searching the Scriptures Bible studies. And today, we're offering the Bible study workbook for Titus and the new one for Moses as well. To purchase the Searching the Scriptures Bible study workbooks for both Titus and Moses, just go to insight.org/workbooks. Over the years, Chuck and Cynthia Swindoll have been known for their hallmark message of grace. And today we want to offer you a booklet that's co-written by this couple, portraying the beauty of restored relationships in their extended family. Cynthia, with utmost transparency, details her process of forgiveness, particularly with her father and mother-in-law. By telling her personal story, we discover how to apply the healing power of forgiveness to transform our relationships as well. Ask for that booklet called Finding Healing Through Forgiveness when you give a donation sent to us at Insight for Living, Post Office Box 5000, Frisco, Texas 75034. You can also give online at insight.org/donate. I'm Bill Meyer, urging you to join us when Chuck Swindoll kicks off a classic biographical series on Moses, tomorrow on Insight for Living.
The preceding message, covering all the final bases, was copyrighted in 2006, 2007, and 2024, and the sound recording was copyrighted in 2024 by Charles R. Swindoll, Inc. All rights are reserved worldwide. Duplication of copyrighted material for commercial use is strictly prohibited.